Welcome back to Le Breakdown. This is your host, Yasser Louati, coming to you straight from the Paris South Side banlieue. Thanks again for joining me and for being part of this conversation today. The topic will again deal with racism in France and the tragic consequences it can have on workers. This time I will speak about the case that has rocked the City Hall of Paris, and more specifically, the City Hall of the 20th arrondissement of Paris. Paris is divided into 20 arrondissements or districts and or boroughs, and each one of them has its own City Hall. In the 20th arrondissement, a woman from the West Indies, from Martinique, Sabine Vorin, was found dead on her workplace. And we discovered the story just out of sheer coincidence. The story revealed how the mistreatment of Black and Arab workers was systemic in the City Hall of the 20th arrondissement. And when we began investigating on her case, it led us to investigate on the City Hall of the whole of Paris. Just maybe side information that's worth mentioning. Both of these city halls are headed by socialist mayors, women, socialist mayors, Anne Hidalgo for the City Hall of Paris, and Frédéric Calandra back then for the 20th arrondissement. Sabine Vorin used to work as a housekeeper for the City Hall of Paris. She was in charge of taking care of a library, and one would ask, how could that woman die on her workplace? What happened is that she had a stroke on her workplace and there was no one around. Now, the reason why she was sent to work at a library is because she had been going through brutal harassment from her manager, or whatever they call it, and that position is filled or was filled by a man called Didier Conque. That man was in the DGS, Directeur Général des Services, which is the person in charge of managing municipal services. And that person had been called out for months for his racism, his sexual harassment, his constant targeting of Black and Arab workers. Even unions got hold of the case, but to no avail, because he was protected by Frédéric Calandra, the mayor of the 20th arrondissement, who in turn protected him to make sure that he kept everything in order. Now, what do these people have in common? Of course, is their racism, and I'm not saying this lightly. The mayor of the 20th arrondissement, Frédéric Calandra, is a co-founder of the infamous Printemps Républicain, which is an association or a lobby that made a name for itself in France in the wake of the 2015 terrorist attacks at the Bataclan, and afterwards, or actually prior to that, in January, against the Jewish supermarket Charlie Hebdo and against a police female officer in the town of Montrouge, just outside of Paris. That organization has been behind, I could say, 70% of the anti-Muslim controversies. Supposedly, in the name of protecting laïcité, their specialization was to target Muslim women and to launch online campaigns which would spill over into the media and from then on becoming a national conversation. And I can name a few: the burkini hysteria, the halal food in schools, the connection between cracking down on Muslim organizations and cracking down on terrorism, the fact that they imposed a new definition of laïcité that went, as I said in a multiple podcasts in the past, that was taken from its constitutional value and turned upside down to become a tool of discrimination. In other words, you can no longer say we have to discriminate against Muslims because we don't like them. We're going to keep Muslims away from public schools, from universities, from access to work, from the public debate, in the name of protecting laïcité. And their interpretation of laïcité is the complete absence of Muslims from the public sphere. That organization, one of its co-founders is Frédéric Calandra, who is mayor of the, who was then, back in 2018, 2019, when we made the revelations, she was mayor of the 20th arrondissement. And I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, all the black and Arab brokers under her watch complained about being, you know, discriminated against if they applied for a job or if they applied for a promotion. Now, this poor lady, Mrs. Sabine Vorin, being herself a black woman from Martinique, which is a French colony in the West Indies, she had been targeted by unspeakable racist slur. Honestly, I said it in my previous episode, and I don't want to say it again. I really invite you to read our investigations on cjl.org. If you can't read French, just, you know, hit, you know, translate. It will give you an idea. Honestly, I repeated what she was told in the previous episode, and honestly, I will not do it again. But it was the equivalent of using the N-word against a woman, making fun of her race and of her weight, so much so that the supervisor in charge of her made sure that she was sent in a different department because the head of the municipal services was constantly harassing her and disrespecting her. Needless to say, this woman was in her 50s and she was being treated like a subhuman. Now, I'm not saying there was a connection between her death on the workplace, but she had to be put away from the City Hall building and work at the Naguib Mahfouz public library in the 20th arrondissement just to keep her protected. The problem with that decision is that she found herself alone on her workplace, and the representatives of the personnel pointed out to the fact that if you work alone, you know, you are more prone to dying on your workplace. Why? Because if something happens, nobody would be there to either assist you or make the call for assistance. So when the CJL made the investigation on the Sabine Vorin case, honestly, I mean, the backstory is very simple. I saw her name in the news and I was quite surprised, you know, that a woman dies on her workplace and there's only a paragraph in Le Parisien, which is the local newspaper. I don't know, like something, it didn't look right. So I called Khaled, who is, you know, in charge of our investigations at the CJL, hit him up, we discussed the case. I'm like, listen, Khaled, you know, this doesn't look right. What do you think about it? After a couple of phone calls, you know, we had a lead up towards something, you know, fishy. And we had no clue that this would lead to a massive revelation and political consequences that we'll talk to you about after this. So he does the investigation and it turns out that he'd been targeting the blacks, the Arabs, the Roma, women, overweight people. And then it turned out that Mrs. Sabine Vorin died on her workplace just a few months after being protected or shielded away from Didier Conque. And rather than this, the mayor, Frédéric Calandra, taking the matter seriously, she remained quiet and there was a system of terror that if you speak up, you could be fired or you could be isolated and singled out by the whole management team. That's how it worked. And for those of you who work in places like that, I feel you. And I know about the suffering at work when you have the mob literally being your own managers at work. Among other allegations, we also had that same Didier Conque, the head of municipal services, or the DGS, speaking of, he felt he had to whiten the city hall because when he came to office with Frédéric Calandra, according to him, there were too many blacks and Arabs. Now, who else would do those jobs, right? But to him, he just wanted to make sure that he was surrounded by white people like himself. And it turned out it turned out that Mrs. Sabine Vorin was the visible tip of the iceberg. Why? Because unions, as I said earlier, had been calling this out, but to no avail, because the City Hall protected the DGS, or Head of Municipal Services. Now, the story was, once we publish the investigation, the story is taken by a local public office holder, Mrs. Danielle Simonet, who is part of Jean-Luc Mélenchon's party, La France Insoumise, and she takes the revelation and speaks about it at the Paris City Council during the plenary session. And she confronted Anne Hidalgo from the Socialist Party, telling her, "You, Mrs. Anne Hidalgo, heard about these allegations. There have been multiple reports about the mistreatment of black and Arab workers at the City Hall of the 20th arrondissement. What is being done against it, or what is being prepared to at least, you know, have the DGS, you know, face disciplinary actions, and how do we make sure that the death of Sabine Vorin does not happen again?" Well, Anne Hidalgo, I mean, like, the video is online. I will put it in the comments. Anne Hidalgo did not care, and she even, you know, attacked, you know, Danielle Simonet and told her, "I wouldn't accept, quote unquote, that you berate city workers and that you tarnish their reputation." Well, after making this revelation, what happens? Didier Conque goes against us, the CJL, and sues me personally, because I'm, of course, I'm in charge of the organization, and sues me for tarnishing the reputation of a public office holder. Ain't that something? That I make the revelations, which, and instead of the City Hall standing with the NGO behind it, they grant funding to Mr. Didier Conque in order for him to sue us and drag us to court. Well, we get sued the first time. I'm still getting sued for making the revelation, and the judge charges me with tarnishing the reputation of a public office holder. Now, the story does not end there, because as the mayor of the 20th arrondissement is being cornered because her position is untenable, the story is out in the public. Afro-feminist and black organizations are now demonstrating in front of the 20th arrondissement city halls. Representatives of the West Indies community show up as well. News outlets from Martinique, from the West Indies, cover the story, and it turned out many, many women from Martinique and Guadeloupe and the Reunion Island were themselves being mistreated, and that nobody would hear their complaints, and that actually the Sabine Vorin story just popped the, cover and put things into the open. But instead of acknowledging how terrible this was for Sabine Vorin and how the mayor herself failed her own employees, she does not organize a committee to deal with the issue. She finds herself being put under investigation by the City Hall of Paris. That's the least Anne Hidalgo could do. The DGS, Didier Conque, is terminated, or actually he's put on paid leave until the investigation brings its conclusions. But in the meantime, he is sent to a different workplace, this time dealing with the green spaces of the city of Paris. And he remained there until he retired a few months ago. Now, what happened is that, of course, we were following the case and we let people know that the mayor of Paris and the mayor of the 20th arrondissement did not care and that they were still protecting him. Because we published a follow-up paper on the issue, I get sued again the second time, and this time again for defaming a public office holder. And who's paying for this? Taxpayers. So we have in France a system where government employees are even receive incentives to sue people, which means this guy, he finished his career, a woman died under his watch, dozens of people suffered under his terrible leadership. Now he's retired and he has all the time in the world to sue me, drag me to court while sipping on Peña Colada, wherever he is. And now, like actually yesterday, today I'm recording on Friday 20th May, so on Thursday May 19th, I was due to appear in court in Paris. I went there. The judge, honestly, she was very respectful and cordial. You know, she was, you know, she made me understand that she had to follow the procedure. She told me, Mr. Luati, you are being charged for defaming a public office holder. So now you are, your trial will be about in about 1 year, but you will receive further information about that. So this makes it two lawsuits. I got charged twice for revealing the death of a black woman on her workplace after receiving multiple racist insults from her director. And a second time for exposing how the government protected that man. And unfortunately, only two newspapers revealed, you know, relayed the story. They shared it, Le Parisien and Street Press. Now the question is, how is it that of all the platforms that shared the info, only me, Yasser Louati, the Arab guy, is getting sued? The City Hall of Paris did not sue Le Parisien. Of course, it's an institution, it's a local newspaper. They did not sue Street Press, a white-owned and white-majority newspaper covering issues of, you know, banlieue and, you know, ethnic minorities. Well, I know what some of you think, but please, let's have this conversation in a different episode. But so these guys, they share the story, they make money out of it, and they don't get sued. And those platforms have much more visibility than us. And look, in the case of Le Parisien, it's a historic newspaper. It's like the New York Times at the local level. Nobody sued them. And now I have to deal with it 4 years after blowing the whistle. What does that say about France? What does that say about how government agencies work and government administrations work? Well, if you step into them, oftentimes you will see black and Arab workers from Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, Senegal, Mali, Mauritania, sometimes from other countries, from sub-Saharan Africa. But those people, if you speak to them, they will tell you how much they go through, and the level of humiliation they go through, and the frustration they have to endure when they are eligible for a promotion, but it's not given to them because, to quote this Didier Conk, they don't have the right accent, right? So, just one piece of information that might be helpful and to tell you how important this investigation is, even though the paper came out back in 2019. The paper is old, but the consequences are still being felt today. I refrained from, you know, speaking about it, but now the situation, you know, pressure is increasing right now because they want to have this organization shut down. This guy does not have to pay for his lawyers. So a black woman dies, an Arab man is getting sued, and two white people are making money out of this. The DGS, who continued his career, never had to fear for his career or his, you know, his wallet, and the lawyer defending him. Ain't that something? And according to even to the Minister of Interior, In 2018, they published a report saying that only 3% of the victims of racism in France press charges. So you have to imagine how many more people are in suffering and they cannot do it out of fear of reprisal, a fear of losing their jobs, a fear of dealing with the administration, fearing for their immigration status, etc. But when one organization dares to inquire on that, and actually that was our very first investigation for that matter, the very first one, when one NGO does the work that other newspapers refuse to do, because we approached multiple newspapers and gave them the lead, telling them, listen, this is what's going on at the 20th arrondissement, etc., etc. We can carry the investigative work, do the fact-checking, then you publish, no problem. And they refused. So we had to do it on our own. And when we did, we got sued for it. And right now, how we can do to help? Well, make this case visible. I've been tweeting, and the CGL has been tweeting as well on the case. So far, not a single journalist has dared to pick up the story, but we need that, because if they manage to have us shut down, what are we gonna do? Stop doing our work and hope that maybe one day some outlets, you know, finds interest in covering these stories? Honestly, I'm gonna share with you what I truly think when it comes to investigating issues of race and minority rights. And I know for those of you who listen to me, and some of you guys are in the US and some of you are journalists in the US, and I will repeat what I said earlier to you in private, that I will say to, you know, today in public. Issues of racism or issues being faced by minorities are a vital threat to minorities, meaning that our lives are on the line. These issues affect us in our flesh. When we speak of police brutality, mistreatment at work, discrimination, harassment by administration, poor housing conditions, poor living conditions, poor education in our banlieue, these are matters affecting us in our day-to-day lives. So, when we investigate about that, we are literally doing that to survive. But when news outlets, where the majority is white, let alone white male, these issues can be at best nice to speak of, but they are not as urgent as they are for these minorities. And I spoke about that to multiple journalists in New York. I was there, you know, I think like a year or two ago, and I met some of the friends, you know, that I have a lot of respect for. And I told them, how is it that your outlet does not cover these issues? Well, one of them was, you know, quite blunt, and he looked upstairs and like, he's like, they're all white upstairs. They don't care. So, and this is not a judgment I'm having on white people as a whole. I'm saying that naturally, when you are a white person, you do not know what racism feels like, let alone how it feels like on a day-to-day basis, when it affects the food you put in your mouth. So how can you know better than a person doing, you know, the investigation? You cannot. And because there is no real, and I hate this word, diversity in boardrooms, in news outlets, what's important for blacks and Arabs is not important for white people. Which means, in turn, these issues are only cosmetic. It's nice to speak about them, but because they do not affect you white people in your day-to-day lives, you don't care. Some of you don't care because you just don't. And some of you because it's too remote. You don't know how it feels like. It's like, imagine for a sec that I, Yasser Louati, start, you know, having, let's say, a section, you know, dealing with, you know, investigation on gender issues. Who in the world am I to speak on behalf of women and know what's best for them and decide if that case should be covered or not? I can only offer a platform and then have women, you know, deal with it because they know best. So if it's a, I don't know, like a black Muslim woman wearing a headscarf in France, what do I know about her struggles? I know how it feels like to be African in France, to be Muslim, but not to be a black Muslim woman wearing a headscarf. So in that case, it is on them, it is on us to trust these people, female of all kinds, to do the job and then listen. But if you take a look at those news outlets, yeah, from time to time they will cover Islamophobia, anti-black racism, anti-Roma racism, and then that's it. But between two investigations, how many died from police brutality, from environmental racism, from discrimination, from poor working conditions, etc.? So honestly, if you are a journalist listening to this, read our investigations. Get the case in the open. Right now, I'm dealing with this and I'm facing, you know, the French government on my own. And it's not helping. It's not helping Mrs. Sabine Vorin's memory, because her death so far has not led to any disciplinary action nor change of the working conditions of black and Arab workers in the City Hall of Paris. And at the same time, if we stop doing our investigations, who's going to help us? Who's going to do the job? I'm not saying we are irreplaceable, but honestly, from experience, I do not trust those white journalists who make a living covering black and Arab issues without knowing what it means to be black and Arab, let alone live with blacks and Arabs in the banlieue. I try to get in touch with multiple journalists, to no avail, because unfortunately they see us as rivals. We are not rivals. We are an NGO. We are not a media outlet. We just do these investigations because nobody cares. I wish someone else would do it so we could do something else, less risky, I would say, but we have to do it. So please, I'm going to finish on this. Remember her name. Please tweet about it. Sabine Vorin, the woman who died on her workplace and who found no support from the mayors in Paris right now. And as we are trying to get in touch with them, there is no reply coming from them. And to make things worse, all of this is being subsidized with public money, which is a disgrace for a so-called democracy that believes in liberty, equality, and fraternity. Thanks again for listening. This was Yasser Louati speaking to you from the Paris Southside banlieue. Talk to you soon.